Right, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. This morning we will be reading verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. These two verses concerning forgiveness are extremely clear, yet extremely challenging. So let's read them and ask God to use his word to change our hearts this morning. Matthew 6, verse 14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask you to take these two verses and reach into the depths of our hearts this morning. With your word pierces to the deepest part of our being, Hebrews says. Cuts through all the junk, and it reaches to the very core of who we are. And this is where we hold so much unforgiveness. So, Lord, we need and confess our need of your Spirit this morning to help us to sit under the authority and the truth of these two verses. And Lord, we pray that on this Mother's Day, it may be difficult for some of us who haven't had relationships that were good with our mothers. We pray that you would take these verses and use them in a special way in our lives as well. And we remember those whose mothers are not here anymore. And we ask for your special grace in their hearts this morning. We pray especially for our brother Stan, who has said at least a temporary goodbye to his wife Kathy. Lord, we know that this would be the one day of the year, of all days, that her row would be filled with her children. So we pray for him and for all of those who have lost and have said goodbye to those that we love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I began looking ahead at my preaching calendar to see where we would be in our study of the Sermon on the Mount on Mother's Day. I preach through sections of Scripture at a time, and I normally don't take, unless it's a Christian holiday, I normally don't take the day off to address, you know, Father's Day or 4th of July or whatever, unless it's appropriate. And began looking, and I was once again amazed at the providence of God in bringing us to these two verses on Mother's Day. Because while we honor our mothers on this special day, there are many families that will not celebrate this day because of broken relationships, due to some past hurt that has never been forgiven. And so this is a very appropriate text for Mother's Day. Last week I read an article from a psychology magazine that said that underneath almost every problem that people seek therapy for is the root issue of unforgiveness. The same thing was echoed in a separate article on pastoral counseling, that almost every issue that Christians seek counseling for is fundamentally related to forgiveness. But this is not surprising. It should not surprise us, because the truth of the matter is that forgiveness is our most basic problem as fallen people. Romans 3:23, all, without distinction and without exception, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners who need the forgiveness of God through Christ, and we are all sinners who need the forgiveness of others and who need to forgive others. And most, if not all of us here this morning, can recall to mind at this very instant some past offense or hurt. Perhaps for some of you, there are so many of them, you can't even single out one. And some of you have carried these hurts into this worship service this morning. Perhaps it is from the betrayal of a close friend or a family hurt or an act of broken trust. Wives, perhaps maybe you discovered the porn habit of your husband. This happens all the time. Or husband, maybe you discovered that your wife was emotionally involved with another man. And maybe years of marital strife have planted seeds of unforgiveness and bitterness. Or maybe it's a fractured relationship between a parent and a child. Or maybe someone in the church hurt you. And there is unforgiveness in your heart. And the words of Christ in these two verses this morning have pierced you. I have good news. The gospel says that Christ has made it possible for not only us to be forgiven by God, but Christ has also made it possible for us to forgive those who have hurt us. And so I want us to look at these very two clear and simple verses and find here in Matthew 6 the hope of complete forgiveness. First thing I want to do is acknowledge that this passage creates somewhat of a conundrum for us who believe that God, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, unconditionally justifies the believing sinner and grants him eternal life that cannot be lost. John 6:37 makes this truth very crystal clear. Jesus is saying, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. A clear promise of eternal salvation by grace through faith in Christ. Irrevocable. You don't lose it. Assuming, of course, that we are genuinely saved. Justification is not something that can be lost. But this passage in Matthew 6 seems to indicate that God's forgiveness toward us is conditional, based on whether we first forgive others. Jesus says, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This text also seems to indicate that believers can have unforgiven sin, as well as a broken relationship with God. So let me answer these issues briefly before we get into the the meaning of forgiveness and how to forgive. First of all, we have to keep these two verses in their context. And the broader context is that Jesus is describing in the Sermon on the Mount the character of a true disciple and true citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That's the broad context of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the kind of person who's a part of my kingdom. And in the immediate context, in chapter 6, Jesus is warning his disciples against the danger of hypocrisy. So, only a false disciple then, or a hypocrite, withholds forgiveness from others. So in context, the driving point of verses 14 and 15 is that forgiven sinners forgive sinners. That's the main point of this passage, and it is the main point of this sermon. If you leave here today and take nothing else with you, forgiven sinners forgive sinners. So is God's promise of forgiveness conditional on whether we forgive others, as it seems to, you know, if and then or neither? Well, yes, it actually is. But only in the sense that our unwillingness to forgive others is an indicator that we are either living in hypocrisy, or even worse, that we have a false faith by withholding the same forgiveness that we ourselves have received from God. Can believers have a broken relationship with God? Well, yes. But only in so much as our fellowship with God, our communion with God, is disrupted by harboring unforgiveness and bitterness toward others. Our positional justification remains secure as Christ has definitively and once for all dealt with all of our sin, past, present, and future. It's done. It is gone. So there is no risk of us losing our justification. But when we refuse to forgive, it is a monumental indicator as to what's going on in here. And the truth of this passage sets before us the very scary warning that unwillingness to forgive others can wreak enormous havoc on our relationship with God. And it may even be an indicator that we're not true believers at all. In fact, the more we move through the Sermon on the Mount, the more we see Christ warning us against the danger of false faith. Unforgiveness is serious. Now let's look at two questions. The first is, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? The original word that Matthew uses here in his gospel for forgive, the verb form, to forgive, means to cancel a debt, to pardon, to release from the consequence of a trespass. And the kind of forgiveness that Jesus is calling us to show others is the same kind that God has shown us. So let me give you three characteristics of divine forgiveness. Number one, divine forgiveness releases us from the penalty of our sin. Releases us from the penalty of our sin. Listen to the Apostle Paul describe the forgiveness of God in Colossians 2, verse 13. He says, you, that's the Christians in Colossae, that's all the Christians in the New Testament period, that's you and me. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made you alive together with him. How? Having forgiven us all our trespasses. How? By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, how? By nailing it to the cross. We were dead in our trespasses. God made us alive, forgiving us all of our trespasses, canceled the debt of the record of debt that stood against us, nailing it to the cross. Forgiveness cancels the record of debt that we owe so that we owe it no more. The penalty for our sin, which is eternal damnation under the wrath of a holy God, is removed from us because Christ was punished in our place, absorbing the penalty of our sin so that we no longer owe it. This is forgiveness. That means that in forgiving others, we release them from the penalty of their trespass. We no longer punish them for what they do to us. Now, this doesn't sit well in our society of you do the crime, you do the time, right? We're not talking about getting out of jail. Forget that. We're talking about relational forgiveness. We're talking about how we punish each other for their offenses against us. Sometimes we withdraw from the relationship. Give someone the cold shoulder. Have you ever done that? Sometimes we are, you know, we're aggressive and we react in anger. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes we withhold our fellowship. We do this in our marriages. We do it towards our children, towards our friends, towards our co-workers, our family in Christ at church. But forgiveness releases the offender from our wrath in whatever form it takes. Now, if someone commits a crime and is sent to prison, it is not within our power to release them from that penalty. But as much as it is within our power relationally, we need to be willing to release others from our personal anger and resentment for what they did to us. The second characteristic of divine forgiveness is that it refuses to remember the transgression any longer. Listen to this beautiful, beautiful verse from Psalm 130. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Psalm 130, verse 3. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. If you, Lord, mark iniquities, then who could stand? For those who come to God with contrition of heart, seeking forgiveness, he does not keep a record of our sins. Remember, it is canceled. It is nailed to the cross. Micah, one of the minor prophets that we don't visit too often, has this amazing verse. Micah 7:19 says that God will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 43:25, God says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. If you have turned to Christ in repentance and faith this morning, then God has cast your sins into the depths of the sea and will remember them no more. Now that should cause each one of us to want to run the aisles of this church This doesn't mean that God suffers from memory loss. It means that our sin has been pardoned and blotted out by the spotless blood of Christ, and it will never again be brought to our account. So what does this tell us then about how we are to forgive others? That we must, like God, remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 48, therefore be what? Perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. We remember we discussed what that meant. We're living out God's relation to us, to each other. So we must, like God, refuse to bring the past sins of others into the present to use against them. And brothers and sisters, this business about I can forgive, but I can't forget, that is not forgiveness. That's not. Forgetting the transgression of another against you is not about wiping out the memory of that sin. That is impossible. It's about refusing to hold it against them any longer. God remembers our sins no more. So we must do the same. The third characteristic of divine forgiveness is that it seeks to repair the relationship. The biblical word for this is reconciliation. Reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. How? Not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. True forgiveness is willing to reconcile as much as it is within our power. I know this is hard. There aren't any funny jokes in this message this morning. I tried. I said, this is heavy. I need to figure something out to lighten it up. It just never came. But it is what it is. This is hard. And brothers and sisters, we are masters at justifying our unforgiveness and anger toward other people in a way that we free ourselves from the charge of unforgiveness while very much living in a state of unforgiveness. Now, reconciliation may never happen because of the other person's unwillingness, but it must not be because we are unwilling. We have to seek to repair. We are ministers of reconciliation. That starts in your home. Everything about the gospel, everything about the Christian faith starts in your home, starts in your family. We must be willing to reconcile. So forgiveness releases others from the penalty of their sin. It refuses to hold their sin against them, and it seeks to reconcile the relationship. This is what God does for us, and this is what Jesus calls us to do for each other. This is biblical forgiveness. So the million-dollar question then is, this is our second question, how do I forgive? How do we do it? How do you forgive those who have hurt you so deeply? I want to give you six steps. Six steps to forgiving others. Number one, when possible, overlook the offense. Proverbs 19:11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. We need to be secure enough in Christ to let some stuff go. We need to be secure enough in Christ to not get bent out of shape over every little thing. So, number one, when possible, overlook the offense. Number two, remember your own depravity and your own need for forgiveness. And this is one of the biggest barriers to us being willing to grant forgiveness to those who have transgressed us, that we have forgotten, not their sin, we've forgotten our sin. We have forgotten the great debt of sin which we owed. We have forgotten that we too are sinners in desperate need of grace. So who then are we to withhold forgiveness from those who have sinned against us, just vile sinners ourselves, when God has lavished mercy upon mercy and grace upon grace in our lives? How dare we withhold forgiveness from others who, at their very being, are just like us? At the foot of the cross, the ground is equal. Number three, pray that God would give you a heart that willingly and quickly grants forgiveness. If you have unforgiveness toward an individual or bitterness, name that person to God in prayer. And beg God, beg Him to give you a heart of forgiveness toward that person. Forgiveness is the work of the Spirit. We need God to get our hearts filled with grace. Number four, go to the person who has trespassed against you. This is not about just sweeping it under the rug. You go to the person. Explain how they hurt you, and seek to reconcile with them. And if they are unwilling to acknowledge that they hurt you, be willing to grant forgiveness anyway and leave it with God. Number five, resolve to pray for those who have hurt you every day. Wife, go to God over your husband and pray for him. Husbands, pray for your wives. Pray for the difficult child, the rebellious child, the neighbor who constantly encroaches on your property, or the mouthy church member, or the coworker who gossips all the time, spreads lies, and you just can't stand the sight of them. Resolve to pray for them. Pray for the mother that you won't go see, that you won't call today on Mother's Day because of some unforgiven trespass. Pray for all of them daily and see if your heart does not start to change toward them. It will. It will. And number six, and this is probably, honestly, the most important one, if I were to rank them that way. Number six, refuse to keep score and dwell on past hurts. Refuse to keep score and dwell on past hurts. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says this: love keeps no record of wrongs. Husband, do you love your wife? Then let go of all the ways she failed to meet your expectations. Let go of all the ways she daily fails to meet your expectations. Wives, do you love your husband? Then let go of the past. Take the past, bury it in the blood-soaked dirt at the foot of the cross. Do you have a parent that you are bitter toward, or a brother or a sister, or perhaps a mother or a cousin, co-worker, a member at church? Forgive them and let it go. Unforgiveness and bitterness will rob you of present joy, and it will make your life miserable. And it will make the lives of those around you miserable. Brothers and sisters, none of this is easy. I wish this could have been a great, cheerleading type of message. Forgiveness is costly. It cost Jesus his life. And it will cost us to Tim Keller, a pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian in New York City, says this: there is never forgiveness without suffering. There is never forgiveness without suffering. So let's look then to the one who suffered for our sins and lay our hurts on him. His shoulders can bear it, but ours cannot. We will crumble under the weight of this sin. We will crumble under the weight of unforgiveness, but he carries the weight of the world on his shoulders. If you're here this morning and if you're carrying a weight of unforgiveness and bitterness, then be honest with yourself about it. Don't try to justify it or excuse it. Confess it to God. And if you don't know what to do next, I had someone sit in my office a few weeks ago and say, I don't know what to do next. Then go to that person who hurt you. Confess your unforgiveness and see yourself just as they are. A sinner in need of grace. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the enabling grace of Christ, choose to forgive right then and there and never bring it up again. Forgiveness is a choice that we make. And then commit to work through the issues that were the seed of unforgiveness. I want to close this morning by reading from Matthew chapter 18, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's about 20 years worth of wages. 20 years. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And so the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's about a day's worth of wages. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." And so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me and I will pay you." But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servant saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master, the king, all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in an anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you. If you do not forgive your brother from your heart,